The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Last week, the Society of Chartered Surveyors revealed in a survey that 40% of the houses sold in the last 3 months of last year were actually by landlords who were selling up. So what can be done to keep them in the market and stabilise an already chaotic rental sector? Well, to get into this, I'm joined now by the spokesperson for the Irish Property Owners Association, Mary Conway. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, landlords leaving the market, it's nothing new. You've been talking about it for a long time, but has a trickle become a flood?
I think what has happened is, and we're looking at the last quarter of 2022, is that, and I represent the majority of property providers around the country in the private rental sector, is that we unfortunately thought that there would be some better tax treatment of landlords in the budget, and that didn't happen. So landlords have decided to vote with their feet and go. We know from our own figures that 57% of landlords in the rent pressure zone planned to sell in the next year or two anyway, and that was a survey we did in March, and that was before rising maintenance and interest costs with no means to offset any of this. And I think really, you know, the landlords have just had enough, and
okay. Now let's talk about the reasons that a landlord might sell up. And the first one is, a landlord will get a good price for their property at the moment, although the price increase is moderating across the country. It's still increasing, so there's a good opportunity to cash in. That's a logical reason, and I don't think anyone can point the finger at someone for doing that if they want to cash out on an investment. But the other reasons I want to tease out with you, where a landlord would prefer to stay in business but is saying, no, I'm out of here, what are those reasons?
I would work with a lot of older landlords who have been in the sector for a very long time and bought their properties, you know, as a pension in the future. And just the over-regulation with the Residential Tenancies Board. A lot of these landlords have meticulous records. They've done everything right over the years. But the rules are changing all the time, and they're finding it really difficult to keep up with them. And they just find it too stressful, and they're getting out. If landlords have HAP tenants, the housing assistance payment tenants, if the tenant fails to pay the council for whatever reason, and it could be financial reasons, it could be health reasons, any number of reasons, they fail to pay the council their proportion of the rent, the landlord misses out on all his rent. And we've asked for this to be changed, that the landlord would still get his rent and be able to work with the tenant to try and keep them in their home. And, you know, nobody is listening to that proportion of it either. The other thing would be the tax treatment if landlords go to exit the market, or they go to if farmers have a farm, they can pass it down to their family and work out inheritance taxes or whatever. But there's no incentive for a landlord to pass the property on to their family, to keep it in the family, because the tax treatment is so severe.
Yeah, but I mean, in fairness, the tax treatment of any capital asset, if it's disposed of, you know, you pay a capital gains tax. And in addition, then, if you pass it on to your kids, it accrues inheritance tax after the threshold. And it doesn't matter whether it's a corner shop, a big chunk of cash in the bank, or a house that's up for rent. It's treated the same way. You pay, you know, the tax if it's over the threshold.
We're trying to be creative to keep landlords in the market. And realistically, paying 52% is quite a significant amount of tax when, after the, you know, the 48 pence cent you have out of every euro left, you have to pay a mortgage, you have to pay various costs. And I know a lot of landlords have been very much squeezed with the interest rates in the last few months, myself included.
Yeah, one of the aspects of this onerous regulation you might talk about, this is a texter. The council is about to fine us over a broken shower door. The small wheel broke from the bottom of the door. A new door is approximately €1,000 fitted. The tenant doesn't mind, and no water is escaping. So the landlord, therefore, rather than face a fine from the council or replacing the shower door at that cost, is thinking, I'm out of here. Is that typical of what's going on? Because on the other hand, tenants will be onto us and say, I'm paying a huge amount of money for a really shabby apartment that's got damp and all the divil and all, and I'm hearing landlords squealing when so many of them don't provide proper accommodation for the price.
Well, I don't condone any bad practice, but I do know from listening to some of our members that they just don't have the money to spend on doing up a property and keeping it maintained in between. And on the other side, you know, tenants don't always report problems in a timely fashion, and by the time it's reported that things have accelerated really badly. One of the biggest drivers that are pushing landlords out of the market is the rent pressure zone, which is pretty much across the whole country, where you can put up your rent by 2%. Now, you know, 2% for some people can be fine, but if you have a property and you haven't put up the rent over years and the tenant leaves, you can't then revert to market rent. So if you've been keeping a tenant at a very low profit, a very low rent, and you haven't put up the 2%, and then you put it up, it's still below market rent. So is there any incentive to do up a property between tenants if you can't charge market rent?
Now, the government will point out to the tax break they've given for people who do put money into their properties, you know, between tenants. Are you saying that's not enough of an incentive?
It's not, because the only way that you can go to market rent is between tenancies, is if you go up with your building energy regulation, the BER, by 7 points, or you increase the floor space by 25%. Now, you can't obviously increase floor space by 25% in something like an apartment. And if your rent is going to be pretty much the same as it was and you don't have the money to spend on it, it's a very difficult situation. And in a lot of cases, landlords are saying, I'm just out of here.
Yeah. Now, in terms of the way the tenancy board works, a lot of people complain, you know, tenants will complain that they don't get a fair shake. Landlords will complain they don't get a fair shake. And I suppose it is seen by many as a tenant's charter rather than a landlord's charter. Does it need to be reformed so that it's transparent and fair? For example, if you have a tenant who doesn't pay the rent, you go to the tenancies board and you won't actually get your rent back that's owed, will you?
No, and I think most landlords accept that. And what they would like is that the tenant would be moved on quickly and that everything would accelerate quickly to get the tenant out so that they can try and claw back something. But it takes so long for everything to be put into place and for orders and determination orders and adjudication and mediation and everything to be sorted out, that a tenant can quite easily be in the property for a couple of months before it even goes before the RTB. Now, the Residential Tenancies Board was set up after the Residential Tenancies Act in 2004. So that's quite a long time ago and things have changed a lot. So we have asked that the whole Act would be overhauled. The Residential Tenancy Board work within the scope of the Act, but the Act really needs to be radically overhauled, and we've asked repeatedly for that to be changed. Mm. And the other thing is landlords are now paying a yearly fee of €40 to register every tenant every year, but the system has completely broken down. There's a website that's unsuitable for purpose, and that's causing an awful lot of stress, again, to the older landlords who might not be particularly computer literate and are failing to get their tenancies registered because of the failure of the system to work.
It does seem as if there's a reluctance to really get involved in this sector. For example, the idea of looking at apartments, inspecting perhaps even every single one, but having zones, for example, where you've got rates of, you know, per square meter that would be applicable, you know, levels of luxury or simplicity, that these would accrue certain rental levels. Maybe it's just too much work for the bureaucracy to get involved with, but the idea that anyone going to an apartment would see when it's up for rent, that there is a maximum rent that is permitted for that particular premises, that would give comfort to a lot of tenants, I think. you know, they couldn't be gouged, and it wouldn't be. They advertise, 200 people turn up, and someone offers more than the previous one. You know, the price should be the price. And all things considered, you know, references and so on, that first come, first served, they get the apartment at the price.
Well, the tenancy has to be registered. So, you know, when the tenancy is registered, they will look back at the previous price.
No, but I'm talking about even bringing rents down in some areas and even up in other areas. In other words, it doesn't matter how long you've had the property or whether you've given a bargain or you're extorting from your tenant. The point is you start rating all the apartments per square metre, depending on their location, their luxury and so on, and, you know, do it properly. But we're reluctant to do that.
And I don't know why that's the case. I mean, there is probably a case for that. I know in other countries that when somebody takes an apartment, they have to put in their own kitchen and their own wardrobes, and they have to insure and repair it themselves. So there is an expectation here that the landlord is going to do everything and provide everything. I get calls to say that bulbs have gone out in a property or that a kettle needs replacing. You know, these are stupid little things that could be sorted out by the tenants with very little hassle. But the system overall needs to be overhauled. And, you know, there are our members provide properties all over the country, every part of the country, from very cheap properties to expensive properties. And we would like some parity with the institutional landlords who aren't paying any tax in the Irish jurisdiction and are providing very nice apartments in elite parts of the city. So, you know, the whole system needs to be looked at and overhauled.
It's extraordinary, you know, that much of the politics of the 19th century and early 20th century was about absentee landlordism. And we've created it all again with, as you say, big funds investing here. They don't pay any tax here. And they do pay tax, you know, the individual shareholders pay tax, but only in the jurisdictions in which they live. So you've got this exactly like it was back in the 19th century. You've got a whole class of absentee landlords. Now, they may be nice people, pension funds for the, you know, the police department in an American city or whatever it might be. Effectively, they are absentee landlords. I'll read you some more of the texts now, Mary. Give this man small landlords who cannot afford to set up companies to protect their income a financial break. Allow repairs and maintenance costs as an expense in the calculation of income tax. That's from Tom. Another one, make the private landlord a recognised business. Make them regulated and properly accountable. Make the properties regulated. Make them able to be properly tax efficient like any small business can be. That's from Ivan. Hi Pat, I have a HAP tenant I'm considering selling. Can I sell to the government or a charity to keep the tenant from homelessness? Well, the local authorities do buy houses. In fact, they're one of the biggest customers in the market for properties. So maybe that should be your first port of call before you go to Father Peter McVerry or somebody else. Myself and my wife both sold our apartments that we despised because of the bank's treatment of us. They felt like a noose around our necks. It was such a relief to sell them, if only for a tiny amount. It's not true that high prices are being secured for selling properties. I'm a landlord and the property I bought in 2006 has still not reached the price I paid for it. Maybe older properties bought in the 80s and 90s are, but those bought during the Celtic Tiger era, some have not reached the price paid for them. I now hate being a landlord, but I can't afford to sell due to negative equity. The regulations are so onerous. I'm a landlord with one property. The tax is crippling. A little fairness would go a long way, even if only up to, say, three properties or so. Must I allow an inspection of my private property to the local authority if the rental agreement is solely between me and the tenant? Can you answer that, Mary? Does it depend if it's a HAP tenant?
No, it doesn't make any difference. The county councils, I think everything kind of stopped during COVID, but they're now back doing inspections again, and they're out in force. I know particularly in Fingal, County Fingal, they're out. I know of a tenancy that I managed that was went on HAP in 2016, and it just had its first inspection before Christmas. So
but the idea that if you have a private contract between a private tenant and the landlord, say, you know, a high-tech person is paying $2,500 a month for a single-bedroom department, quite happy to pay that and so on, and it's a reputable landlord, be it absentee or otherwise, does the local authority have the right to come in and inspect that apartment?
Yes, they do. It's under the minimum
rent. And what about privacy? Can they just barge in on top of
you? No. They have to. The tenant has to get notice, and ideally, the landlord should get the notice as well to say that they're to be able to be there, and to go through the
because you might have a light fingered inspector, for heaven's sake. You know, I'd be very worried about it. You've got private documents lying around the place.
They should get. I don't know what the notice period is. But they should get adequate notice. I mean, really, the whole failure of the government to build enough sufficient social housing, to build any social housing over the last number of years, is really what has caused this problem. And the landlords are being made scapegoats.
Now, another one. In my complex, there are identical apartments rented for €1,600 a month, €2,000 and €2,100, and most recently €2,700. The landlord of the lower rent is now selling up as they can't control their own rent. The landlord of the highest rent set it so high because they knew the landlord on the lowest rent was stuck. And I presume if it's the first time as a rental property, they can set it at a level they choose.
Yeah.
Instead of this business we're talking about, zoning properties and allowing a maximum per metre price. I'd like to stay as a landlord. I have one property. Tax isn't great, of course, and the paperwork is fine. What's making me want to leave is twofold. No sanction and huge risk if you have a rogue tenant, and Sinn Féin wanting to bring in regulation to prevent you ever getting your own property back and having to sell with tenants in situ. We are excellent landlords, but the elimination of my rights to that investment is the biggest reason driving people out. By the way, our property rent has gone up 11% in 11 years. It's €600 per month below the market rent. The truth is both tenants are paying large rents, but due to the expensive nature of maintaining a property and the 51% tax rate, there is no profit. That's from a landlord in Cork. For landlords in the UK, there is a threshold before you start paying tax, so landlords don't put up their rent at such extremes. 52% tax is really high. Irish rents and house prices are plucked out of the sky. They're not based on square footage or structural quality. Prices are just based on what everyone else is charging and locality, not much else. Prices were artificially inflated over the last 10 years, with landlords driven to recoup equity lost in the crash. They're getting out now because they've recouped their losses on the original price. In other EU countries, rents and prices have a basis, and there are also controls. Renting is usually cheaper than a mortgage. The opposite is true in Ireland. Mary Conway, spokesperson for the Irish Property Owners Association. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.